Together we're going to look in the Word of God to discover what God would teach us from His Word. Now we have been working and looking and studying and reading and meditating upon the words of Jeremiah for some time. And God is detailing what happens when His judgment comes upon the local congregations. And this is the beginning of God's day of judgment. As judgment has fallen, first of all, on the house of God, and God is explaining in great detail and with great repetition and emphasis and underscoring why God's judgment is there. We don't like what we read, but we know it is God's analysis of what is happening. We like to look at the exterior appearance. We like to look at the beautiful building. We like to look at the shining faces of happy people that come out of the worship service and make an assessment. Everything looks well. Everything looks happy. Everything is under control. But God looks at the heart, and God knows exactly what is going on here. We're going on in Jeremiah 18. Now remember, we've seen that these chapters are, we don't have to look at ancient Judah and say, oh, what scalawags they were. Oh, what crazy people, what dumb people, that they did not catch on, that they should be obedient to what God is saying. Why did they just keep going headstrong into rebellion and so finally God destroyed them? No, God is speaking to us, as I've already illustrated, or the Bible illustrates in a number of places, that it is speaking about our time. We read in verse 12 the most dismal statement, where they are saying, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. God here is telling us that those in the local congregations, Judah and Jerusalem of our day, they are saying, look, you're telling us that we have the wrong hermeneutic, the wrong understanding of the Bible. We have to get out of our churches. God is not using local congregations anymore. We can't do that. This whole institution has been set up through the years. We are committed. If we're wrong, it's too bad. There is no hope. We have to go along the path that we are following. And yet, deep in their heart, like the harlot, or like the drug addict, or like the vicious murderer over here, they know that they're sin. They know they're in trouble. And even mankind today, those in the local congregations, they know deep in their heart, way deep in their heart, which they try to submerge entirely so it doesn't enter into their active thinking. But they know they're in trouble. How do we know that? Because they don't want to listen to the Word of God. They don't want to re-examine their position very, very carefully. They're saying, look, leave us alone. Leave us alone. We're okay. Everything is good. It's too big a deal to even think about changing. I'm a pastor, for example, and I'd have to leave all my colleagues and my profession, and it's just there is no hope. And yet deep in his heart, because God's law is written on every man's heart, they're very uncomfortable. And the proof is they don't want to get too close to the Bible. They don't want to talk about these things. They don't want to really think about judgment. In fact, they're very upset when we say that we may only have a few more years, and they're saying, now, wait a minute, don't even talk about that. You know, we can't know the day or the hour. We can't know anything about that. They don't want to face reality at all. Here God emphasizes it. There is no hope. and we will walk after our own devices. That is after the plans that we have laid out, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. That phrase, the imagination of his evil heart, is a very interesting phrase. God uses that again and again in the book of Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah 7:24. Jeremiah chapter 7:24. And there we read in Jeremiah 7:24, God came to them, to Judah, and again, he's speaking to our local congregations today. But notice the setting. It's very similar to what we're reading here in Jeremiah 18, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, I'm reading Jeremiah 7, verse 23, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. That's the constant command of God through the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is all about. That's what is the keystone, the important document in every local congregation, that we are to be obedient to the law of God. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see, the perverseness of mankind. No, we will not listen to God. We will go our way. Or again, we can look at Jeremiah 11, verse 8. And there we read in Jeremiah 11, verse 8, let's start with verse 7. Jeremiah 11, verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. And this, the word of God is the voice of God, is it not? Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant or this law, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. You notice again the stubbornness of mankind. We will not obey. We are going to go our way. The imagination of our, that, and this is simply a word that is saying, we've laid out the program. We know what salvation is. We know how we are to live. Now, please, don't mess us up. Don't confuse us with any more from the Bible. And so the Bible no longer is the authority. Man's wisdom has become the authority. Oh my, wouldn't it be wonderful if we would hear from this congregation and that congregation that they're really burning the midnight oil, studying the Bible. Where did we go wrong? Praying, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Oh Lord, direct us. You know, we're hearing these sounds coming out of this crazy organization, Family Radio, your judgment is upon the local congregation. If that's true, we're a local congregation. That means us. And that means that we better know why, if that is true. We better search the Bible to make sure that it isn't true or that it is true and take appropriate action. And this is a time when we better not wrap our holy garments around us, our holy rags of what we consider to be holiness and just continue with our thinking. We better look again at the Word of God, again at the Word of God. You know, it's so hard to understand, except that it emphasizes the perverseness of man's heart and the fact that man is spiritually dead if he's not a child of God. But when we stop to think about the utter seriousness of what we talk about on Family Radio. We're talking about man, heaven, and relationship to a man's relationship to heaven and hell. We're talking about how man stands before God, and we are not bringing visions and voices and speculation and philosophies and psychology or any of the things that the world loves. We're not bringing any of that. It's all directly out of the Word of God. And you would think that there would be all kinds of people out there that would be saying, you know, yeah, there's this is something we better know more about. We have a Bible, and we can read it too. We can read it, and so we better start studying. And we thought we knew the Bible, but now we're beginning to discover there's a whole lot we don't know. But can anything be more important? We better learn about this. All of us in this congregation really get our Bibles and start checking and checking and checking and checking. Nope, that's not the way it is. We're going to walk after the thinking of our own heart. We have our way that we're going. We're okay. We have decided that God is going to be with the local congregation, the church, right up until the end. We're convinced, we've convinced ourselves that that is true, and so we're not going to be disturbed. And so man walks after the imagination of his own heart. Again, in chapter 16, verse 12, we saw the same statement. Ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk after everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. In other words, that is a repeated indictment that God is making against the local congregations. You're walking after the imagination of your own heart. Now, there is hope. They're saying there is no hope, but there is hope. Because if we go to Jeremiah 3, verse 17, Jeremiah 3, verse 17, there God declares in Jeremiah 3, verse 17, in verse 15, he begins, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, and so on. And then at verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In other words, there is hope. There is hope. Here God is saying, I can turn you around. I can turn you around. And yet, because we have the whole Bible, because God has laid out his pattern for the whole finishing of time, we can anticipate that there will be no turning. God has already shown us that the rebellion will continue. There will be no turning. And so that increases, of course, our consternation. And so now God goes on in verse 13 to indicate the awfulness and the incredible situation that prevails. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask now among the heathen who have heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a horrible thing. In other words, in all the world, if a company, for example, is finding that their financial situation is getting worse and worse, it looks like they're headed for bankruptcy if they don't change, what are they going to do? just sit there and keep going and like a toboggan slide, slip into bankruptcy? Of course not. They're going to be holding meetings and they're going to be thinking, maybe we got to take a change here. Maybe we ought to change our strategy there. Maybe this, maybe that. We have to somehow correct our situation. Someone finds that they have cancer. And are they just going to sit back and say, oh, I got cancer. I guess I'm going to die of cancer. No, they're going to be talking to doctors. They're going to be reading the literature wherever they can find it. They're going to be checking out, is there possibly an herb they can take? Is there surgical operation they can take or whatever? They're going to be agitated and working. How can we somehow get past this problem of the disease that I am following? That is the normal situation with man. But here God is saying, here is the local congregation, Judah and Jerusalem. They're being told, you're in deep trouble. Judgment begins with the house of God. And you're being told that all through the book of Jeremiah, God is making specific warnings and he's making specific declarations about the problem of your pastors and the problem of your prophets and getting into detail in all of this. And virtually nobody appears to be concerned. And God is saying, that's the strangest thing. That's the strangest thing. He says, ask ye now among the heathen who have heard of such things, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. The nations, if they really understood what is really happening, they'd have to shake their heads in wonderment. What's the matter with those people that call themselves Christians? It's not registering at all. Then in verse 14, God really makes it confusing. When we read this, will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? The translators really had trouble with this verse. They didn't know how to quite handle it. That's why they put the in italicized there, which cometh, which are not in the original at all. And only when we understand that Christ spoke in parables can we begin to understand this verse. Only when we understand that Christ spoke in parables. Now immediately we see the word Lebanon. Lebanon, and we search the Bible. How does God use the word Lebanon? Well, we go back to Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. And that's, there in the Old Testament. Here, Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. And we read there, God is speaking beautiful language about salvation in the context. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. This is what happens when we become saved. I will be as dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and set forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. What is God using Lebanon? It's a figure of being in the highest good, a figure of because it was part of the land of Israel, but it's a picture of being under the greatest blessing of God. Now, when we look at snow, we know snow can be used in a very judgmental way. You know, leprosy can be as white as snow. That's when the gospel is speaking about judgment, but the gospel also speaks about God's mercy and grace. And so snow can also, you know, water comes from snow, and it is the, your sins will be washed and you will be whiter than snow. And so here, will a man leave the snow of Lebanon? Will a man leave the beautiful gospel that flows from all the blessings of God typified by Lebanon in order to have his own imagination of his evil heart? How silly, how crazy, how awful, how horrible, how insane, how impossible that is. But that is what God is emphasizing. Or what about forsaking the rock of the field? And the word rock is used again and again in the Bible as the Lord Jesus Christ. You find verses like, he is the rock of our salvation. And there are many verses that can be offered on that. And the field, we learn from Matthew chapter 13 that the field is the world. And it's and God is saying, would a man want Christ to leave the world so that there's no salvation possible? How crazy. What a terrible idea. And yet God is saying, this is how stupid, how arrogant, how wrong, how deceptive, how everything it is when the local congregations keep going their way and will not repent, will not begin to search out. And it isn't like they don't have the Word of God. That's what's so incredible. They've got the Word of God. And they have people who read the Word of God very well. They have teachers who have had some understanding of the Word of God. And yet, and the answers are there. And yet, they insist we're going to go our own way. We cannot change. Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another, from a strange, now that word, that other place is really the word, these are strange waters that come, that are being forsaken. In other words, if there's a strange gospel, that should be forsaken altogether. But they don't want to forsake it. They want to leave it right where there is. And so God, this verse is really underscoring how, trying to show us how incredibly impossible the idea of sinful man is in rebellion against God. It is just insane. It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. But that is because unsaved man is dead. He's dead. He cannot turn to the Lord unless God does a work of mercy. And how God does that, we know that's God's business. He elects the ones that he plans to save, and he will save them. But from man's accountability before God, and that doesn't change because man was created in the image of God, God is looking at him and saying, look, it's your problem. It's your problem. You are not listening. You are not doing what I'm commanding you to do. Now, that's as far as we're going to get with this study. We're going to go on in our next. And, oh, boy, we're right back into where we have been for months now in the book of Jeremiah, seeing the sin. And we despair. We despair because we think, oh, isn't there any possibility of something better coming out of all this? And then when we study the Bible, we know, no, there isn't. God's will be done, and God has established his program, and it will follow through that way.